Hello, Jeha. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in. These podcasts are a conversation with Jamie Mackey, who is a dear friend of mine, a beautiful sister, Rumirumi practitioner, consultant for me as well. And we will be talking all things Rumirumi, Mirimiri, and I'm sure much beyond that as well. Looking at our practice and sharing you the feels, raw behind the scenes. Part of me is a little bit scared about this because I feel like it's taking away potentially some of the illusion that people come in with, yet I really feel more and more drawn to offering a real picture for practitioners and having these sorts of discussions. Sometimes stepping into a healing path can seem like, oh, it's this easy thing to do, and it is definitely totally fulfilling and really nourishing and deep, and I would not change my path at all. At the same time, there's some things I've learned along the way that I feel by sharing and talking about openly, maybe someone out there doesn't have to process in the same way. They don't have to feel the shame of being drawn between different cultures and different aspects of themselves and different desires than maybe how they learned. So for that reason, I feel really grateful to have Jamie with me and to be able to share with her these vulnerable moments about our practice. I'm sitting here with Jamie Mackey, and we're going to talk today about looking after ourselves energetically and anything that arises from that. This is something that comes up a lot as practitioners on our peer-to-peer and our supervision calls, and also can be a fear for some people stepping into the healing space about how we cleanse ourselves, how we cleanse our homes. Do you have any thoughts that come to mind initially around it at all?
I think having the awareness around it, coming into this work and knowing that it is an important part in the capacity that we are operating with as Māori healing practitioners in the space of whakanoa, knowing that we won't always get it right and that it is a growing thing as well. Are on our journey, what we use as a way to process or to regulate ourselves, that may shift in time as well.
Yeah, I so agree. When I first learned, the main things that were like talked about as being like cleansing were karakia and blessing and making sure you're closed off the body and the different ways that you do a point kaupare, which are like prayers for people who are Māori, prayers or cleansing seawater, things like that. But to me, how I see things now, those are more like practices, and it's more of an energetic that we can hold and know. So moving more from like route way of doing things to what do you need, what feels right for you, what feels right for our clients and our field, our co-creators, and what they learn from themselves to give themselves to. Because it's all very well being told by someone like, here's what you need to do. But if they don't have the capacity or space in their lives to do that, it can sometimes also be a bit heavy. One of my favorite parts of Māori healing, because of the energies that we hold, there's a whole vibration from dark to light, from soft to heavy. It's almost like you have to expand your energy in your body to be able to hold that. One of the ways that we do that is whakanoa, so being neutral, sort of the translation, but it's like being a bridge between the spiritual and the everyday, being able to cleanse and shift and release tapu from that space. I have found that in the process of learning what it means over time, it's become richer for me in the way that I understand it. I used to think of it very much like I was what I hear some people call like an empty vessel or a hollow bone or things like this. But to me, whakanoa is not that at all. There's the energy of love is very present. There's an aspect of holding yourself in the human realm while also giving over to the energy of healing. What you've learned, the skills that you've developed. There's also in every single session a little bit of release and trust from the practitioner as well. I don't know what you think about that.
Absolutely. It is unique with each client as well as to what comes through It is actually surprising how we can step into the space of whakanoa despite what we have going on in our lives. There's something really amazing about that, and it always takes me by that you can still show up and be vulnerable in your own way in terms of what you're navigating and be able to still hold that capacity.
Because I had always heard that thing before, you know, like, heal thyself. And to me, when I used to hear it, it was like, oh, well, that means that, like, I can't practice healing because I know that there's bits inside of me that aren't yet healed or that arise or are triggered or activated. But that doesn't make sense to me. There was a point, I think it was like 2017, when I came back from South Africa, and it was like the lowest I remember. Well, I don't know, recently I've had some pretty heavy times. So that point at that time was the lowest that I remember having been. And I came back in and I could step into sessions. My practice, people were still wanting to connect with me in the healing practice, which really surprised me because I was like, I feel so heavy. Like, why are people wanting to connect with me? Stepping into that healing space was healing for me. And I know that I did a lot of really powerful, beautiful work at that time. So it showed me like, okay, my human self can have a lot going on. There can be a lot happening there. And I can step into that space and really gift to other people's healing. And actually sometimes that vulnerability makes me more real and makes the session more healing because people can feel me. They can feel my humanness. They're not like, oh, she is this hollow bone with nothing comes through. It's like, oh shit, like she's human and like, wow, but look what happened in the session and that's quite insightful. But I definitely am a person who that can sometimes hold myself to these really high standards that probably aren't actually realistic for myself. Or like a sort of perfectionist, it's not even perfectionism because I know it's not perfect, but it is a certain way I like to do things. And if I can't do that, I feel shit. But that standard is often also created from when I'm in my highest energy, which I'm not all the time. There's ups and downs and ebbs and flows. So a change at the moment in particular I feel like I'm going through is going, oh, I want to give my best of what I can get no matter what energy I'm in. And that feels more flowing and more activating in a nice way into the world.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think too, in the space of healing and coming in with our vulnerability, knowing that sometimes we will feel a bit triggered or have certain emotions or feelings come up too. So even in that space of whakanoa, there's that learning in it for us as well. And I think especially early on in the first few years of sharing Māori healing, that was something that was really interesting for me was in the beginning, I definitely found it a little bit harder because things would come up in sessions and it would make me feel a certain way, or I would feel afterwards like I was still thinking about it for a while and processing. But that's also what I love about our supervision calls and about our community and just having that space as well, because as practitioners, I think it really helps us to process some of the things that we might still be holding.
I had actually never heard of supervision calls really until I started delving into studying counselling. I'd heard of it in like the psychology space and things, but I didn't even know what it actually entailed. But as soon as I did hear about it, I was like, we need that as healers because we are dealing with the same presentations as psychologists and counsellors. It's people going through the same amount of grief, the same amount of processing of energies. They're just choosing to do it in a somatic way, often alongside other practices they also have. So we need to understand for our own selves where we sit with those lines and what our triggers and things are as well. But supervision has many purposes, but one of the purposes of it is to know what our triggers are and be able to process those so that when we are with clients, it can still be about the clients, but we know, okay, we've got a space to go and process that or to understand that, or even to just go, oh, I never even thought of that thing and this happened in a session. How do I move with that? Sometimes as clients, we think our sessions might follow a certain pattern. So we think that must be like what every single person's session's like. And it just isn't. They're so diverse. There's so many different things. Everyone's got so many different lives, so many different truths, so many different histories. And as healers, we're expanding to hold all of that. Like whatever comes through the door, you don't always know what that's going to be or how you're going to move with that. So it's quite a big space to hold, really. So I was wondering if there's anything in particular that you do to ground or to process as a healer. And it can be even what you did at the beginning and then what you do now and how that's changed, whatever comes to mind.
In the beginning, I think I was a bit more structured and a bit more black and white about it. But now I feel like it weaves more with my availability, being a mum and having kids and things like that as well. Something that's always been present for me has been receiving the modality and feeling for myself how it feels to be a client coming for a session and all the nuances of it all. Always been a big part of my journey with this as a practitioner has been receiving that, because I feel like it's the biggest way for me to continue to hold my capacity, as well as other things like making sure I'm getting enough rest. Rest, I think, is a big one. Surrounding myself with people that are like-minded, that I can have conversations with, that are uplifting and that help other aligned practitioners. For myself, I love going for bushwalks. So that's something that I do always do, and exercise and just generally taking care of my health.
You also mentioned how sometimes some people in the early years of being a healer may step away if they don't feel like they have enough support. What was coming through for you for that?
If we aren't noticing the subtle signs of how holding capacity in sessions is impacting us, or if we aren't processing and bringing in that awareness and continuing to ensure that we are in a regulated state, or that we are doing our own personal work, it can feel like a lot to hold. So we can come away from sessions feeling a bit burnt out at times. So I think that's something that can put people off. And I see this more in practitioners that may be working alone and not necessarily have a community of other like-minded people, healers around them that are doing similar work for them to be able to debrief, or perhaps they aren't doing certain things for themselves. And yeah, just sort of reaching that point where they might not feel like it's a viable thing or a sustainable thing to be able to continue to work in the space, which is sad because it's a gift and it's come to us for a reason to be shared.
Yeah, I so vibe with that. I think it is actually really harder than many people know to share the work. It's a lot more than the session that we're doing. It is this cleansing that we're talking about now, but there's also like the business stuff, the behind the scene, the organizing your family, all the washing that comes from having towels, making sure we're in a good energy and vibe, that we're cleansed, collecting less seawater. Those are only a few things that are coming to mind. But there's so, if I actually sat down and thought of them, there would be so many more. So it is a lot of work energetically and organizationally, and our empowerment, like our own self-worth, to even step into the space and going, oh yeah, I'm going to share as a healer. There's so much to it. And I also think that we were going on about supervision before, and I'm going to be stepping into a space of opening up some group supervision for healers. That is something I've really valued having as a counselor. But I think that some of the things that we navigate as healers in the spiritual sense can be really different than a counseling sense. Talk therapy and somatic therapy have similar goals, but the things we're navigating can be really different, because sometimes someone being touched in their body, or the different energies that arise well beyond what someone is presenting and telling you, that with the Rumirumi, you can't always hide because the body will show you. So we are seeing things and sensing things sometimes, even though we don't tap in intentionally, but those energies can arise for a person, or they may perceive that you're tapping into something. So there's a lot of different things that we have to navigate to hold ourselves strong and to know our worth and to know the work that we're doing and to know what we're offering and to be able to offer that with a strong heart, as well as like dealing with our own stuff. And so that's why I think things like supervision can be really helpful to be a healer and to be a practitioner in whatever capacity that is. And also to think a little bit, sometimes the clinical aspect of supervision can silence some of the voices of some of the spiritual things that we're dealing with as well. So the space I hold, I would want to be also accounting for that. I'm also just thinking about along my journey, when I began, I was like you said as well, quite strict with how I did things. And I've actually found with having like, okay, I'm going to play like this and I'm going to follow all this and it has to be like this. But as nice as that was, I suppose, in terms of following rituals, it also felt quite tight in my body because it was like, if I hadn't done something, it created a lot of stress. And in the beginning, I wouldn't, for example, this isn't a cleansing space, but I wouldn't put the washing machine on if I was doing the session because they might hear the washing machine. Whereas I'm like, nah, I'm putting the washing machine on because then the washing can go out whilst stuff like that. It is something that I suppose in the best world scenario, like the washing machine wouldn't be going with the session. But in reality, that is what we're balancing. So I see clearing is very similar where I follow what I need and follow how the energy needs to flow and follow how everyone can be as cleansed. So in a session, I'm following those processes, but for myself in terms of everything, I'm not like, so-and-so said I have to do this, so I'm going to do that. I'm more like, what does my body need now? Does it need a poo day, a dip in the ocean, or does it need a bushwalk? Will that be what cleanses it? Do I need to set up the karakia? Do I need to cleanse my house? Sometimes yes, sometimes I'm more that vibe of what do I need. And sometimes I have no idea. And sometimes what I need is just to have some fun. Like, actually, oh my God, I've been so focused on being a healer that I forgot Gabrielle. So it's a total range of things.
Yeah, I love that point that you've just made about being a healer. Sometimes there can be all these like expectations around how we need to present, but there's the element of not allowing that to dim our humanness and our general life and for it to be all encompassing to the point where we feel like we can't have fun or that we can't live our lives because of this as well. In the beginning, I would be like, oh, I can't allow myself to do these things because I've got a healing session tomorrow or whatever. But there's a very human aspect to it as well. I love the fact that we can flow with it and that it can change over time. And as we build our confidence in this space, we feel okay with dropping away some of the things that were adding potential pressure.
Yeah, I so love that. I'm just thinking as well about some of the stupid shit I've done. Yes, because I found it so empowering initially when I did step into being a healer to like, oh my God, I'm a healer. But I almost started wearing that vibe of hippie spiritual freer chick. I don't know if you remember, but then I was like vegetarian for 7 years. And I liked that. I chose that from my heart, but I stayed vegetarian off my heart. It was like, because I was like, but everyone knows me as a vegetarian and this is what I am. And that wasn't what my spirit was wanting anymore. For me, I think I find more spirituality in listening to my truth in the moment and everything. And sometimes that aspect of what people expect can feel, I feel like I let people down because I'm like, oh, they want me to be this really Māori, like mana wahi, and I am that inside, but I'm actually very not. I'm like, there's so many aspects and pieces of me and I want to be who I am at the moment. I feel for some of my clients, especially in the early days, because Rumirumi was so, for me, I guess my limited understanding of it, I was like, oh, it's all about pain. And so I feel like I hurt people more than I needed to, even though that is healing. Rumirumi is healing, but the pain bit is healing because you're facing aspects of yourself that other modalities would go past. It doesn't need to be all that. There was like sometimes people that were like really staunch Māori, and I would like go hardcore on them. Because I was like, this is what they want. They need like support and love, and not to say that or not, whatever they need, it differs from person to person, but I should still be me and what I offer and not be just like, oh, because you're really like presenting as this like hardcore Māori person. I have to then like man it up. And it's like, no, even just feeling that in my body now, I'm like, that's not the energy of who I am. So why would that be healing to someone to pretend to be a type of Māori person that I'm not? So that's interesting, just navigating all those different understandings in my mind of like spirituality and Māori tongue and everything like that to step into a space that's really integrated and human, truthful and honest to the moment and what the body and person needing, because we're not just one identity either. And so the people coming aren't just one identity. What's required? Thank all of the talk we have. Thank you all so much. I feel like I got more bold than I said. Thank you. We will be having more of these. So, cheers.